nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm bringing back my friend Ben Stapley. Ben is a great friend of mine and a great resource for church communications and church online. And in fact, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about church online. And the question is, really, are you contemplating doing church online? Now, while I know that may seem weird to some people because they're already well invested in church online, it's still a question that a lot of churches are answering. Are you thinking about making the move into church online, and what does it look like? Well, Ben has two questions that you need to have answered before you really make the jump into it, whether or not you're really fully prepared to go all the way to church online. So we talk about what those two questions are and how you can answer. We kind of really dig deep into answering those questions and what that looks like for your church and your ministry. So I'm really excited to have Ben on. Again, he's a great resource. He does a ton of stuff for church online. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation right now, talking to Ben Stapley about two questions you need to answer before starting church online for your church.
With me right now is Ben Stapley. Ben, how are you?
Tom, I'm doing incredible. Thanks so much for talking to me today. Always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Oh, see, you're so nice. I mean, honestly, like, I haven't talked to you in so long, and it was so weird because you hit me up the other day, and just kind of randomly, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have not talked to Ben in so long, and you were such a great interviewee. So I was like, I got to get him back on. So this is great that we're able to get connected again.
Yes, it's been too long. Been too long.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the first time we've ever recorded an episode where we're actually in the same state together. You're in Florida and I'm in Florida. So anybody who doesn't know who you are, give a quick little overview about who you are and what you do.
Yes. So I'm the weekend experience director at Christ Fellowship down here in sunny Miami, in Florida. So it's been great here, been here on staff for a year, oversee a number of departments that help execute that weekend experience, worship, production, creative, guest services, and online, which is what we'll lead into later on. But hey, I'm making sure that all those teams are unified to creating a great experience on the weekends, but more importantly, not just that 1 hour on the weekends, but then extrapolating that experience across the other 167 hours across the week as well, so that we continue to engage people. So that's the privilege I get a chance to do down here.
Dang, that is awesome. And where you were at before, you were in New Jersey, weren't you?
Yeah, I was up there with Liquid. Tim Lucas just dropped a new book as the creative arts pastor. Incredible being up there with those guys as well.
Yeah, and wait, and you're Canadian, right?
Yeah, so you'll hear some outs and abouts. Yeah. My accent at this point, because I've been bumped around a bit, is a little bit muddied, and I'm a bit of a mutt when it comes to my accent, but you'll hear some A's I'll sprinkle in throughout the conversation as well.
I love the A's. That's what I mean. I've known some Canadians in my life. And so you've gotten progressive. Where I was going with that is that you started off in Canada. Now you're getting progressively warmer.
Cuba, here I come. I got my eyes on you.
That's awesome. Well, Ben, it's always great having you on. And I'm excited to talk to you about church online stuff today, because that is one of your backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about church online. And again, I think as much as we know that online church and church online is the way to go, especially it's a big front door action for churches these days, there are still people who aren't doing it for various reasons. And we won't necessarily get into those reasons, but talk to me about someone who's getting ready to make that move into church online. What are some of the things that someone needs to consider, a church needs to consider as they're moving in that direction?
Yeah, the two big philosophical questions I try to coach and counsel churches through upfront before they start investing in this and spending money towards it is, do you believe that spiritual discipleship can happen in an online community? is the first question. And then the second question is, do you believe that all a rising tide raises all boats? So the first question is in relationship to, do you believe it's a viable platform to have spiritual engagement? Not the same type of spiritual engagement that you're going to have at your services and on your weekend. It's different. But do you believe that can happen there? And if you answer yes, then proceed. But if you say no, it's just a chance for marketing and promotion, but it's not a place for spiritual community, then I pump the brakes with churches and say, hey, this just isn't right for you. And that's not a judgment call, like, you know, I disagree with you, or just saying this isn't right for you. And then the other big question is, do you think this is going to be beneficial to your organization, or do you think it's going to be competitive for your organization? So you can probably see where I'm going with this. A lot of churches will consider this possibly as hiving off interest for their for the physical campuses. Mm-hmm. So if we launch an online campus and people start attending there, well, what's going to happen to our physical campuses? Does that compromise them? I would advocate and for not, and I would argue against that and say, you know, it helps both of those. They're farm systems and feeder systems for the other. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that mindset and can answer affirmatively for both those questions, then that's the first thing I say. Don't go any further based upon that right out of the gate.
Well, I think those are two great things for churches to consider, really. Just give me some of your experiences real quick. You believe people can have spiritual conversations online, right? I mean, again, I like how you said it's not the same as in person, mm-hmm. but there are spiritual conversations that can be had, correct?
Oh, for sure. Yes. For sure. And there's pros and cons with it. But like one of the huge pros is that we go towards the intimate and the vulnerable online much faster than we do in a physical environment. So as an example, if I'm at a church, oftentimes I'll see the same person. And maybe over the course of 6 months, we'll talk about the weather, our favorite sports teams, and maybe we get to something intimate or vulnerable after about 6 months. But you can hit that vulnerable lever and that vulnerable experience within 6 minutes with somebody online.
Yeah,
because the platform allows it. And people are naturally more receptive to jumping into things right away and expressing who they are. And that's the huge pro of church online. The big con is it also comes along with all that online baggage. So the lack of social decorum that happens online, you have to wrestle through that online as well, because people will vent. Obviously, trolls will come out as well. So that's the pro is increased intimacy. And the con is lack of social decorum with that environment. But like I said, I think the pro outweighs the con.
Yeah.
Because you can jump into the deep end of the pool really quickly with people.
Yeah, I agree. And I've actually seen that and experienced that a little bit myself. And I think that kind of interaction that you can constantly be talking all the time, be it text or whatnot, I think is really powerful. Okay, so you ask them to consider these things, these two different things. And then what do people need to move on to? What do churches need to consider as they continue down that road? If they're continuing, yes, we want to move in this direction.
Yeah, I'll hit a couple more of the pros just to advocate for it a little bit more, and then jump into that. But the other big pro is it's the next welcome mat. So we used to say like your website was the welcome mat. It's a chance for people to try before they buy. But people now want to see more. They don't just want to see a pretty static website. They want to, before I come to your physical experience, I want to check out the online experience. So not only can church online build and foster digital community, it also is a chance for people to take a look at what your physical community looks like. So you say that you're not going to be asking people for a lot of money, and this is a racket and a shakedown. I want to see what it looks like before I come to your experience. Or you say you celebrate diversity. I want to see who's on platform. Show me what that looks like. Or you're telling me that your teaching is relevant. It's going to apply to my Monday workday. I want to hear that before I come out to that. So I think that's the huge pro to that. The other flip side on this is the con is it takes some degree of technological know-how. Now that bar has been drastically decreasing over the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now pretty much at this point, if you have somebody younger in your congregation who's got a mobile phone, you can do church online. The bar is decreased to that point, but it takes some type of technological know-how. And that's the first thing I would say is for like, hey, what's my next step? How do I get engaged here? If you're a lead pastor, executive pastor listening to this, and this isn't, it's probably not your wheelhouse, find somebody on staff or find a high capacity volunteer to say, hey, can you get this up and moving? Or you're going to be spending time trying to figure out stuff that's just not within your wheelhouse, probably as a leader at a church.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely relate to that on this, is that my background is student ministry, and then I've kind of learned how to do online ministry over the years. But I'm still, the heart of who I am is pastoral. I'm not a tech guy. I love technology. I love all that stuff, but I'm a pastor. And so when we were going into church online about 4.5-5 years ago, they said, Tom, we want you to help with this. But then I'm like, well, I need people that know the tech stuff on it. And so there are people that we had on staff, thankfully, that did know that stuff. But there are also volunteers that we were able to rope in that do this kind of stuff in our church community, that we were able to say, hey, you're looking for a way to serve in our community. This is a great opportunity. So it was a really cool opportunity to enlist some new volunteers to contribute to church because they have this kind of background and I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same thing. I learn as much of the technology to use it. I'm not up on blog posts, or I don't like going to trade shows. I just want to know enough to use. So if that's like your audience, they don't need to be tech geeks to figure this out. They just need to be enough tech literate to figure it out. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned the tech, right? And so I think a lot of churches can think that's enough. So we have the philosophy, like we agree philosophically this model of ministry works for us. And then we've allocated some budget for this on the technology side. And then they launch, right? The next layer of that onion, I'd say, is getting that volunteer team in place before you launch. Because oftentimes it can be a one-man show or a one-gal show. Mm-hmm. And the ministry never flourishes because it doesn't have the proper volunteer base underneath it. So like, the comparison I use is you would never launch a campus with one person, right? So you have the point leadership, you have the volunteer team in place, you have the 6 months or whatever the time is getting that thing up and running before you do your soft launch and hard launch. Consider a similar model for your church online platform. You need to have that type of team approach, or this thing's never going to really flourish. So a lot of churches stop there and they miss that mark or that volunteer team before they launch.
Well, I agree with you. And again, relating this to my experience, because again, the world revolves around me and my experiences. But I mean, to talk about my experience is that we actually had a few people that signed on and said, hey, we want to help with this. But quickly, within 6 to 9 months, both of those people, because I live in Washington, D.C., it's a very transitional time area. People come and go pretty regularly. And so both those people who helped us launch it had to leave. They were not able to be at our church anymore. And so had we not had a team around us, that would have fallen apart really quickly. And just as quickly as we started, we would have been able to we would have had to close it up. And so thankfully we were able to form that team around us. So that was very cool.
Yeah. And some really practical things on that team. Like you might be like team, what is that team? I don't know. Like to map that out for people, you probably need some on-camera talent that is going to welcome people to the experience, give them particular action steps that pertain for that platform. So you need on-camera talent. You're going to need chat hosts as well, whatever platform you're on, the two big platforms. The biggest platform used to be CHOP, the church online platform, free platform from Life Church. And it's still great. It's a robust platform. It embeds well on your website. But, you know, the other big player over the past couple of years is Facebook Live. And so whatever platform you're on, make sure to have chat hosts for both of those. And then I also say chat hosts, you know, not a chat host, plural, not singular, because consider it this way. If you and I, if you're the chat host, and I come on as a participant, and I just see you talking, hey, how's everyone going today? Radio silence. What do you think of the message? No response. Is anybody there? And if you as one chat host is doing that and you get no engagement, it's hard. Yeah. But if you and I jump on there as chat hosts and we are engaging each other, it's easier to loop someone into an existing conversation than to start that conversation with them. And, you know, the old adage, right? It takes a crowd to gather a crowd. Mm-hmm. If people see some type of engagement, then they're willing to jump into it instead of, no one really wants to be the first one. So I always say get two chat hosts on that, whatever platform you're at. And they're, you know, they're not moderators. They're chat hosts. They're trying to solicit and engage people through the conversation instead of just waiting for someone to say inappropriate and then ban them.
Yes. Well, and
so, yeah.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I love the Church Online experience. It provides ways for you to engage during the service. Now, again, if you and I are at a physical church location and we're talking during the sermon, I mean, that is frowned upon.
Bad, Tom.
But that is encouraged in the Church Online because you can kind of chat and process it. And that's what I think creates real community. What I've really discovered is that real community develops in that Church Online chat room because, again, we have an 8, 9, 30, and 11 o'clock service. Every service, there are our regulars. We have regulars mm-hmm. there. And you get to know who they are. And I think that's really neat, kind of a neat relationship that chat hosts have with the people who are watching.
Yes, for sure. And it always, you know, again, these are particular things. But when you go to Facebook, it's are they logging in as the organization and speaking on their behalf, or are they logging in as themselves? I would advocate for the latter because no one wants to just talk to a faceless organization. They want to talk to a particular person. And so make sure your chat hosts log in as themselves. Make sure they have an appropriate avatar that reflects them. It's not a picture of their cat. so I feel like I'm talking to Jane or John, not, you know, Mittens. Some real like basic stuff here. And then in terms of volunteer base, so it's the on-camera talent, it's the chat host, it's prayer support. So when people ask for prayer, who are they being directed to? Who's praying over them, engaging with them, following up with them over the course of the week? And then hopefully getting them involved in small groups as well. So having online small group leaders. We're talking right now in Zoom. This is a great platform for your Church Online small groups. Google Hangouts works as well. Skype is okay. But there's a number of great video-based platforms where you can have those digital small groups as an action step coming out of this community as well. But again, you need this whole volunteer team in place before you launch, or it's going to be on one person's shoulders and it's going to go nowhere.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about small groups real quick. You mentioned a lot of video-based, but there are other avenues that you can do small groups, correct, that are not video-based? What would you recommend on that?
I'd still advocate for the video-based ones for a couple of reasons. First of all, we see each other. It's easier to engage when we see each other. So first of all, I'm writing off, you know, the first option is in person. Yeah. But if this is if people are coming to this experience online instead of coming to your physical campuses, there's probably a reason. They're either they may be sick, they may be housebound, can't get out of the house. They may be working on evening shifts or odd hours. And because of that, your physical small group model is probably not going to work for them. So the first one is, I kind of write that off because of that. If they could get involved in a physical small group, they probably already would have. For me, the best option is that video-based small group model because we see each other as we're talking, and it's easier to engage people. Now, again, it takes a little bit more technological know-how. You need to make sure people have robust internet connections, or you spend half your time trying to get people to log on. And we've all been in video conferences where you spend more time trying to get into the video conference than actually participating, and that's really frustrating. But once you have that that is a well-oiled machine and everybody knows how to use the technology, goes a lot smoother. And I'm a big advocate of it because of that.
See, that's awesome. That's great. And that's the one avenue where we have to, in my church, we have to get a little bit better with these video small groups. So that's really cool. All right. So as you continue to work through this, what else would you recommend and how would you lead us?
The next thing is whatever physical resources you have, try to make them available online as well. So I was a part of a church back up in New Jersey with Liquid, where we launched a all-church small groups campaign. So basically, if you're in a small group, that's great. Stay with it. If you're not, please join. Because for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through this message series that's tethered to our small group curriculum. We've printed out incredible workbooks that we want you to bring to church as well that's tied to all this content. And we're hitting on all cylinders. You can probably see where this is going to go. Until we launched that experience with our online community. Mm-hmm. And they all said, where's my downloadable PDF? And we were in scramble mode. And the funny thing was, it was a free resource, right? We spent all this time designing this thing, paying for it, getting hard copies made, and we didn't think to have, on our webpage /PDF as an option for people to download this and to go through it. So we quickly scrambled, got it to the community. But for me, that was a lesson learned, that all the physical attributes, how can you, if possible, at a low-cost way, how can you make them digitally available for people as well? Sometimes you can't do that, right? Here's a great example. But you can't do it, but there are workarounds. For Lord's Supper, for communion, if your church regularly does this during the service experience, your chat host up front needs to say, hey, we're going to do this later on the service. You might not have communion or bread in your house. If not, still raid the pantry. Get apple juice. Get crackers. Get something that can stand it as a substitute, because we want you to participate. So all those physical things, get them digital versions, or encourage them on their own to get those physical versions of it so they can participate. That's a big learned lesson for me, by dropping the ball and not thinking through how are we resourcing these peoples and this community in a similar way to our physical campuses.
Yeah, see, that's awesome. You know, one of the things that we also do at our church is that we, again, this implies that someone actually attends our physical church, but we give away the communion juice and wafers so that if they're traveling, hey, take it with you. And then so that when you are watching online, you can do this. But again, someone who's discovering you for the very first time can't do that. So I like how you say, put it on the front end and say, hey, you might want to get this kind of stuff available now. So that's really great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Ben.
One last thing, we talked about getting the volunteer team in place, but again, this is making it, you know, super practical for your community, making sure that they have the resourcing and the training in place as well. So you don't just recruit people to these teams, but you equip them to serve on these teams. So you want to get someone to serve in student ministry and not run them through some type of training or give them the resources to execute it. But sometimes churches can do that with the church online volunteer team base as well, where it's, hey, you're a digital body, great, go serve. So for me, some of these really practical things is the chat host, where they may be somebody who's not as plugged into the community. They may be living out of state, and they get asked a lot of questions, and they're expected to be the answer guy or the answer gal. Mm-hmm. And so even giving them a basic FAQ for the community, these are the 10 questions that get asked the most regularly. Here you go. This weekend, we're jumping into a series about baptism. People are going to ask, how do we participate? Here's an answer to give them as well. For me, I would even go so far to give those people that over our chat experience, these are the 5 things I want you to hit every week that invite them to a small group. Ask to pray over them. Ask where they're viewing from. So these boilerplate questions I want you to run through, and here's some regular FAQs that we want you to hit as well. So that's something that I would equip. Make sure you're equipping those volunteers up front, and then make sure to coach them through, lead them through, pastor them through different things that are coming up on a particular weekend. One of the things I like to say is every 4 years at November, I tell them, avoid political conversations. So as the election comes up, yep, everyone wants to take that conversation and derail it. Whatever the message is, they're gonna go off and someone's gonna mention something political, and then it's gonna be a firestorm of comments. Yep. Be prepared for that and get ready to redirect the conversation. So, you know, there's things that we know, or there are things that come up that we anticipate. So maybe there was a tragedy that happened the night before, a natural tragedy, an earthquake, a tornado, a hurricane, or maybe there was a shooting. And we know that our community, this is going to be a raw moment for us. and you have a chance to speak into this. And again, you mentioned like there's unique benefits for the online church model. We're in a physical church environment. You might have everyone sitting in the service and they're all thinking about that moment, but no one's mentioning it. Mm-hmm. Here you can have that ongoing conversation and pastor people through that as the experience continues. And it doesn't need to be once off, or you can address elephants in the room real time instead of after the experience in the lobby. Huge benefit for the model.
I love that, what you just said there. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity that we have to minister to people and to talk about things that are really happening. But I love how you said the political comments, you got to definitely avoid that. That will derail it really quick. And you want to avoid things that really do derail it. Ben, this has been some fantastic stuff. And I love this. And I think this is important because, again, I think when there's something new that we want to do, and church online is still relatively new with a lot of churches, that it's to go, hey, the technology is right there. All I have to do is my phone and we can do church online, and you just go. And if you don't think through this stuff, you are going to be really caught shorthanded down the road, and you may start something that you're not really ready to start. And if you just work through the process of what you're just talking about, they're able to do that and do it effectively. So I think this is really valuable content that you're just sharing.
Yeah, and what I've seen happen, why I've seen church online not work for churches over the years is because they haven't laid that solid foundation for sustainability. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, whoever's got a passion for it, it usually isn't top down. It's more bottom up. Someone in the organization's pitching leadership on this concept. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes because leadership is maybe not aware of it, or maybe they've aged out of some of these platforms and these technologies, and they're not looking at someone's Instagram live video, but someone else in the church sees the opportunity here. The problem is, if you don't take the time to execute it well, it's going to fizzle out. And I've seen churches try it once, fizzle out, and then never come back to it. And that's my concern here. If you don't lay that proper foundation once, sometimes leadership never comes back to try to build the house again. And so consider that if you're leading your leadership up, take the time to build it well, because they might watch it fizzle and say, hey, yeah, we tried that church online thing 3 years ago. It didn't work. And we've abandoned it from here on out, and we're never coming back to it. So take the time to build that foundation to lay it well, and then let it thrive.
Yeah, that is awesome. And with that, we will wrap up this. But here's the deal. You have a lot. You're a great resource, and I know you have this actually in a resource. So how could someone find this if they want to get this information? Where can they go to get this information from?
Yeah, jump to benstapley.info/online. There's a downloadable resource and a video based upon this talk, that this discussion that we're talking on right now. It's super helpful for churches that are thinking about doing this, or if you currently are but kind of need to tweak the model, check it out. Great resource for people.
Yeah, so Ben is a huge resource. And again, if you're on Twitter, which I am because I love Twitter, and I don't know if you post these on other platforms as well, but you actually do videos, regular short videos that are encouraging. Talk to me about those videos real quick.
Yes. So for me, I've spent the first like 20 years of my ministry being the one creating content for my church itself. At this point, I've kind of learned some things that I've wanted to resource the larger, you know, capital C church with. Yeah. So if you jump on any of the major platforms on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, I think my handle is Ben Stapley across all those. But I'll share weekly a small video based upon a topic in terms of some of these lessons that I've learned over the years to try. Again, my heart is that the capital C church wins and succeeds. And so if I have anything that I've learned over the years and I can share and help someone avoid some of the hurdles that I had to jump over myself, or the pitfalls I fell into, that's my passion. That's my heart.
Yeah, your videos are awesome. I mean, they're short, they're sweet, they're really applicable. So I love your videos. And again, video content is tremendous. And so anytime I see you up there doing something on Twitter, as I scroll through, I stop and I watch. So it's really cool. So Ben, as always, it's great having you on. And everyone who's listening, if you missed any of that, I will have all the on the show notes. You can connect with Ben, get this PDF on his platform, so it'd be great. So, Ben, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for being with you, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Ben. It's always great talking with him, and I hope you picked up his Canadian accent because it was definitely there. So, and again, he's gone from north all the way down south, down to Florida, so it's really kind of cool. And it's great to see all the stuff that he is doing. He is a great resource for Church Online. He's a great church communicator, too. And so if you're not following him on the social platforms, definitely follow. He's got great videos. He's got great resources. And again, all those links will be in the show notes, so you can just click on that. And you can get all those great resources there. But I would love to hear from you. What did you think of our conversation? What did you think of the questions that we had answered and that Ben kind of walked us through? What stands out to you? And what do you contemplate when you're thinking about starting church online, or if you're still thinking about it? What are the questions that are in your mind? Let's carry this conversation on. Let's go to Twitter. You can hit me up at TA Pounders by Twitter handle. I would love to be able to talk about this a little bit more and get Ben involved in the conversation. So again, go to Twitter at TA Pounders by Twitter handle, and let's carry this conversation online together. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me. And if you want more content, more information, go to ymsidekick.com. There I've got the blog, the podcast, some vlogs. I've got my Twitter ebook updated, so you want to check that out as well with new content there. And I've got information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group designed for every single minister, whether you're paid or volunteer, or no matter what your background is. If you want to learn digital tools to help expand your reach in your ministry, go to Digital Bootcamp, and you can find all that information at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, and until next time, have a great one.